So any kind of produce we can get pretty readily. And that is about the extent of how readily things are. There are three distinct sects. There's the very rich, there's the very poor, and there's the medium. And we kind of fall in that medium area. And a lot of... This thing is falling. And we serve all three sects of the people. We serve the very rich. Some of them go through the school, as well as the very poor, and those in the medium. So we get to... minister to all of them, which is something that the Lord had told us before we left, was do not forget about the rich. Do not forget to reach them, because you think of missionaries and you think of people going into the poorest of poors and feeding them and giving them a place to stay, and you forget about, you don't think about ministering to the rich. And that's where I get to do a lot of my ministry through La Vega Christian School. I'm one of the English teachers. I never thought I'd do any kind of teaching. I was a nurse for 25 plus years. And going into teaching, it has just, I don't know, it's where my heart is. The kids are an amazing blessing to me. I get to share not only with them how to speak English, but I also get to share the word with them every day. We have full-out conversations about Christ throughout the school day. Kids come to me for counseling, and especially this last senior class that just graduated, 16 of them, they're my heart. Every time I think of them, I just start to cry. Several of them do translate. They've learned enough English to translate. I actually have two of those students. One is native U.S., but another one who has never been to the U.S. before. We'll be going to Moody Bible Institute next month. So she has learned enough English and is confident enough, and the Lord is leading her into missions, and I've got to really have a special part in her life, and that's probably where my heart is the most. The video said 13 Haitian projects. We are now up to 15. This video was only made in February, so we're now up to 15 Haitian projects. These are reaching children who cannot go to school for a couple reasons. They were born after the earthquake, which is when all the Haitians came over to find refuge. They didn't go back. And now they've had children. So being they're not registered in the Dominican Republic, their children are not registered in the Dominican Republic, nor are they registered in Haiti. So according to paperwork, they don't exist, which means they can't go to school. So we have pastors, Haitian pastors, who have stepped up. We work closely with these churches. We work closely with their schools. Last year, we started teaching the teachers how to teach, because they would just throw all the kids in the classroom, and Haitian education is copy whatever I write on the board. If the kids could write, they would try. But that was all that they were doing. So they weren't really learning a lot. So we're teaching the teachers how to teach the kids, setting up different stations, working more closely individually with them. And we have a wonderful missionary who is working with us. This will be her second year, and she has a master's in education, and she has just taken that project on. And I say this all the time. When I say we, it is not Doug and I alone. Doug and I are a part of a group of missionaries that live very closely together. We work very closely together. So when we have teams come in, they might be from one of the other groups that, or one of the other sets of missionaries that we work with, and we work together with them. Same thing with all these projects. We are not doing this alone. There's no way we could. You saw Mitch Martinez, who was the one who edited, or who, what did you call it? Thank you. Narrated the video. He is what we call the senior missionary. They have been there for 25 years. They're the ones that started La Vega Christian School. They're the ones that have started all these Haitian projects. And we live right next door to them, and we get to work right alongside them. And that has been a huge blessing for us, because our Spanish has come a long ways, but it is still limited. Speaking of the Haitian projects, we have three that we're working very closely with right now. on getting buildings. Most of these start in either a little wooden shack or a tiny little outbuilding, and they're shoving 60 kids in these classrooms that you can't even put 60 chairs in. We have been able, through teams that have come, been able to build churches and classrooms for these kids. Right now we're working on one called Barranca that is Pastor Franz, and we've known him since 2010, when we went down on one of our short-term mission trips, and we got to meet him and his wife and his son. Now they have two children, and they are pastoring this church, and they have a school, and we're putting classrooms in there. We're finishing up the classrooms. We've started them. We're trying to finish up those classrooms. We also have Sabaneta, where Pastor Alex is, and we were able to build a church for them. They were in a tent that was given to us. They were in the middle of a field. We had a tent. That's where they were doing their church service, and that tent had holes in it. And it took us a good while to find some land for them. Once we did find the land, we were able to build an amazing building for them, basically just an open shell where they can put chairs out. And then just in the last year, we've started classrooms for them. Their school, they have a bunch of kids out there. I couldn't begin to tell you. We have four classrooms, so probably 100 kids. We're working on a kitchen and another bathroom for them, because we do try to feed these kids at least once a week. Or, I'm sorry, at least once a day. And it might be something, cheese and crackers. It could be something as much as boiled eggs, oatmeal, a cream of wheat, just something to give them some kind of nutrition when they're at school so they can think. There's another program called Kutupu, and that is Pastor Petit. No, that's Lemoncito. Who is in Kutupu? I can't remember. Oh, it is Petit as well. That's right. So some of our pastors are doing more than one church. Our Haitian pastor is doing more than one church and more than one school. So this is Pastor Petit, and he's a very precious he's a very precious man. We have purchased a building for them recently and have replaced the floor, which needs to be done again. We've built bathrooms for them, and we're trying to finish their kitchen so that they can actually cook meals then. Those that don't have kitchens, we have to bring the food to them already prepared. Kutupu and Lemoncito, and then we just added Angelina, they are about an hour away from us. So trying to bring hot stuff to them is not really feasible. So they usually get the cheese and crackers and stuff. So as soon as we get the kitchens made, then we can hire a cook, and then we can get hot food to these kids, more substantial food. There's another project going on in the mountains. Dominican Republic has all four. We have rainforests, we have desert, and everything in between. We also have the highest peak in all of the Caribbean, as well as the lowest below sea level in all of the Caribbean. We are close to one of the highest peaks, and that's going up Constanza. We go about halfway up, probably, to this community called El Cafe. And this church, this pastor is just, he's so precious. Anytime we come to visit, he is like wanting to just help us, and we're there to help him. And he was in, gosh, I don't even know how big the building was, all wooden, very little ventilation. They were fitting 100 to 150 people in this church, and we have been able to build a building for them, which is still in process. We just laid the floor 2 weeks ago, and we have walls, and that is it right now. So we're still working on that project. There's another project that we're doing that when it's very different. We have a community that every time it rains, the river, which is usually dry, swells. So it fills up, it swells, it takes homes. We had last year like 12 homes fall into the river, and we were able to move one family farther up and build a house for her. We're in the process. I think we finally have the land planned out. We're in the process of moving 150 families up. We have purchased land through, with the help of an organization, a fund, and we're going to try to build 150 houses to move these people away from the river so that we're not having to replace their kitchens, their beds, their clothes, their houses every couple, every year. A couple months back, we did a rally. We brought 13 stoves with propane tanks, and we did a had a church service. They came. We gave away some of these. We gave away pillows and blankets and clothes, because when it floods, it comes up about 2.5 to 3 feet, and they lose everything that's in their homes. Those that are closest to the river have wooden houses. They try to take them away, take their houses apart when they see that the river is starting to flood, so that they can later put it back together. It's quite a process. It's very interesting. The way we're able to do a lot of this stuff is through teams, and we get the privilege to work hand-in-hand with the teams when they come, with Vacation Bible Schools, with some of the building projects, with women's ministries, pastoral, grabbing all the pastors and having seminars with them, just pouring into these people, and it's a blessing for us to get to work with these teams. We get to know a lot of wonderful people through that, and then it's not just us that's doing it. We have a part in it, but it's also other people. And one thing I like to say, I was in church service, well, last week, and one thing the Lord impressed upon me as we were sitting there in praise and worship, Mitch and Debbie Martinez, like I said, they've been there for 25 years, and they could do this without us. They have done it without us. They've done it with other people coming in, with stuff, but they're getting older. They've been there 25 years, and they're getting close to retirement as far as their board goes. And the Lord told me that we, along with the other sets of missionaries that we are working with, are the Aaron and the Hur to them. When Moses was sitting there and the battle was going on and his hands were dropping, without them coming alongside of them and holding their arms up, they would have lost the battle. So we are part of the Aaron and Hur that are holding up their hands so that this mission can go on. And it was just, when God told me that, I was overwhelmed. It was just really an amazing thing for me, for God to put me in that spot. And with that being said, we can't do what we do without people and churches like you guys coming beside us and helping us so we can help them.
Hi, y'all. How you doing? Forgive me if I'm a little clunky this morning. I had surgery 2 days ago. Let me try to open this. Hold on. I can't bend my elbow. This is a pain.
You can put it down if you want.
Okay. So, as Chris mentioned, you know, God made it clear to us 5 years ago that we were supposed to go to the Dominican Republic. It's not something we ever thought we would do. We had desire to go on short-term missions, and the Lord made it very clear that we were supposed to actually pack up and go. And it's one of the hardest. I mean, we were in our 40s. Matthew 28, you got a program back there, Shannon? Okay. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, very familiar missions passage here. It says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" When Jesus left the earth. He gave us a simple job to do, right? No. Okay, no. No. He gave us the Great Commission. It's not just a small thing, but this Great Commission is to go into all the world and to share the good news with every nation, and none of us are exempt. Okay, it's a job he gave to all of us. Let me put it this way. Go into your part of the world and share the gospel. What part of the world has God given to you? Okay, 5 years ago, and like Chris said, we were only supposed to go 2 years. Lord hasn't released us yet. There are times we wish he would, but then there's other times where we feel like we're making a difference. You know, we can see what God is doing and know that we're making a difference. So wherever you are, whatever you do, go into that part of your world and make a difference. See, each born-again believer is a part of the body of Christ. So all of us are a part of the body, universal, okay? A local church here, but a part of the body, universal, around the world. And it is good to see some new faces here. We would like to meet y'all after service. But God uses individuals to fulfill his purposes on the earth, but he also uses the body. Without the body, scripture says, you know, how can we go? If one is the eye, you know, if all were the ear, where would the seeing be? If all were the eye, where would the hearing be? Etc. We're all a part of the body. Okay, Paul said in Romans, he said, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. You know, Jesus, back in Matthew 28, Jesus said, go. And basically, Paul is saying the same thing here. How can they go unless we are sent? You guys have been a part of us going, and we are grateful for that. This church, and many of you individually, play a huge part in the fulfillment of the Great Commission in overseas ministry through the work that we're doing, and also through others that you guys support. I just want to take a few minutes to share how you can be a bigger support to those who are part of those that you're sending, okay? See, there's the sent, there's those whom God calls to go, you know, leave family, leave friends, leave what they know and go overseas, but then there's also, but we need support from those at home. So the first and most obvious, but probably some of the most neglected, is prayer support, okay? Number one is prayer support. We need your prayers. The greatest thing that you can do for those who go is to faithfully pray for them. When you go overseas, you face different spiritual battles than you do at home. In fact, coming home this time, I notice a big difference in the spiritual atmosphere between there and here. The atmosphere is different. It becomes harder at times, okay? We especially need your prayers in the month of February. Let me tell you about the month of February. In February, Ed knows. La Vega, like Chris told, we live in La Vega. La Vega holds the largest carnival celebration on the island, okay? And it's different than Brazil. I really think it's different than Brazil, because what we have these clubs, and they parade around the city, but they have demon troops. That's what they're called. They're called demon troops. Okay, and it's different. It's a very difficult time for us. The atmosphere is very dark, very, very, the spiritual warfare is very strong. So we especially need your prayers in February, but we need your prayers throughout the year. Okay, it's through your prayers that God is able to open doors. It's through your prayers that other people are sent. It's through your prayers that the gospel is spread. And it's through your prayers that souls are birthed into the kingdom. Okay, the prayers of a righteous man avail much. Number two is your financial support. Like we said, we left the U.S. 5 years ago by faith. We continue daily by faith. You've been a part of the financial backing of our ministry these years. And again, we're very grateful for your faithfulness each and every month. If we had a missions board, let me be honest with you. If we had a missions board, because we're pretty much independent, if we had a missions board saying we needed to raise X amount of money in order to go, we wouldn't have been able to go. We probably still wouldn't be able to go. But because our budget is very small, it's very shoestring, but God has made a way. And let me just share, you know, there's extra expenses being overseas that you all don't, know about or you don't realize. You know, when you order something, say through the internet and it's shipped to your house, you don't have to either you've paid the shipping and it's delivered to your house, or, you know, you get free shipping, that kind of thing. All right. When we get something shipped, it gets shipped to our mail center. And from there, we have to pay for it to get shipped to us. So we're either paying double shipping or, you know, it's a pain. But anyway, you know, that's something people don't think about. The other thing is when we leave the country, we have to pay an overstay fee. What does that mean? Yeah, what does that mean? It means when you go into the country, when you fly in, you're given a 30-day visa. It's good for 30 days. Anything over 30 days, you know, it starts, you start tacking up an overstay charge, an overstay fee. And we've been blessed many times in that respect. We left the country about 5 months ago, and they actually waved us through. They said it was they let us go for free. Yeah, that was a miracle, because it would have been close to $500 for the two of us to leave at that point, because we'd been in the country for 2.5 years. But and then when we left, when we got on the plane to come back home here, it could have been about $125 a piece, I think, because we were here like just over 4 months, or there just over 4 months. But they said, just, you know, it's only a day or two over, just give them the lesser amount. So it was about $80 a piece for us to get out of the country. So that's been a blessing, but it's still something we need to think about. So again, we're here today asking for your support. But as Paul said in Philippians, it's not that we seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound, I'm full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. So know that your giving to us, to others, is having an eternal impact, not only for those that have been sent and the people that they're ministering to, but it has an eternal impact for you personally. Okay. Number three, moral support. Okay. Sometimes it can get hard being away from family, being away from friends, being away from your church, being away from a culture that you know. We are, like Chris mentioned, very lucky in that we work with a team of missionaries from the United States. So we're able to talk and they can all relate to some of the struggles that each of us face. But sometimes a note of encouragement from home, an unexpected email, a care package, a missions trip can do wonders to the soul of any missionary or anyone. We're supposed to be encouraging to each other as members of the body, lift each other up, encourage one another as a member of the body of Christ. Therefore, comfort each other with and edify one another, just as you are doing. It's good to get together. It is good. The scripture says, you know, come together even more as you see the day approaching. Why? Because we need the support of each other to endure. All right, so moral support. Number four, communications. Now, this is similar to moral support, but communicate with us and communicate with others that you support. Now, I realize that we're kind of bad when it comes to getting out timely newsletters. We don't do them a whole lot. You know, because, quite honestly, you know, our days, our work is pretty much the same, you know, just like it is for you. But we're expected to put out newsletters. And we do from time to time. But when we do put out a newsletter, you can, number one, read them. Two, pray for the prayer requests. You can share them with others. And you can also let us know what's going on with you, all right? You guys are a big part of our lives. Like Garth said, we've known each other for 30-plus years. We've known a lot of you for many, many years. And you're a big part of our lives, and we appreciate what you're doing. Chris does a lot of stuff with Facebook, keeping everybody in tune with what's going on. And that form of communication works well for her, but some people don't really do a whole lot of Facebook or at all, and so, you know, a timely email for me. Shoot me an email. I read email. All right. So, but, you know, support, encouragement from home does a lot of good. And finally, re-entry support, okay? We're here for a short period of time. And Carol and Shannon, thank you so much for what y'all are doing. We're living, you know, we're spending time with them. We're here for a short time. We are here. We're going to be seeing different churches. We're going to be seeing friends. We're going to be seeing family. We're going to be seeing doctors. And throughout this 3 months, we plan on driving over 5,000 miles. Okay, we have places to stay for most of them, but there's a few that we aren't sure yet. Later on, ask us about our plans. Maybe you might know someone who's near where we're going where we don't have a place to stay yet, and we can talk and possibly hook something up. Okay, this time away is not a vacation for us. Even this morning, Chris was getting texts about school, her work and stuff. So it's not a vacation. It will probably be physically and mentally draining, and driving that far over 3 months can get expensive. So the fewer hotels we need to stay in, the fewer meals we need to buy, is all money that can be put back into our budget. And I have upgrade our car here. I guess we haven't talked about that. We are, one of the things we're trying to do is raise money for a better car. Our car is 20 years old, and it's literally falling apart underneath us. It's fun to see little pieces, you know. I wonder if the screws in front of my house are sometimes from the car. But I'm not joking. I'm not. But anyway, so that's something you can pray about with us, please. But we do need a newer vehicle. We're talking about possibly $10,000 for a car. We want to go from a 20-year-old car to a 10-year-old car. The cars keep their value in the DR. They don't lose value like they do here near as fast. So anyway, but John said, he said, send them on their way in a manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth. Okay, prayer support, financial support, moral support, communication support, reentry support. These are our ways, are some ways that you can help us and others when they're here that have been called by the Lord to overseas ministry. We don't take these gifts lightly. We appreciate each and every one of you. We're honored by your love and faithfulness to us. And these are some of the things that may help you when you think about us and others. You are the senders of those who are sent. You have a part in the ministry that they're doing. You play a vital role in the fulfillment of the Great Commission. Think about this as I finish. What more can you do? What more will you do to send out workers for the cause of Christ? Jesus said, lift up your heads, for the fields are white unto harvest. And that's the end of the sermon, but I wanted, if we got a couple more minutes, I wanted to check on, I just wanted to mention, one way, the only reason why we're able to stay there right now is because Chris, mostly, and myself are working after school, after work hours, teaching private English classes to try to, you think it's hard to make a buck here? Try making a buck in a culture where the average pay is $300 a month. What someone would get paid probably $30 to $50 here, we get paid $10. So, but I say that we are supplementing our income by doing private English classes because we don't have enough to live on. That's the stark reality. We don't have enough to live on without supplementing our income. So, but she's having a great impact on one family especially. She has a little boyfriend. You didn't bring the paper? She has a little boyfriend at school. This year during, you know, school was over and now, in the DR, when school's not in session, the kids either go to the grandparents or they come to work with you because there's not really any other options. And so, what's his name? Danielle. No, Pablo. Pablo would come to work with his mom, and he started writing little hearts and little love notes to my wife. What, he's 4? 6? Oh, yeah. 6, 7, something like that. So it's all in good, clean fun. But she's making a difference in the kids' lives over there. And Again, thank you so much for all you're doing, and I'll pass it over to Pastor Garth there.
Well, you guys have service shorter than Trinidad. I was expecting for you guys to be like up here to like 1 o'clock.
You said 30 minutes. That's what we did.
All right. Praise the Lord. Well, I told you all last Sunday to come prepared to give, didn't I? No. Yes, I did. Don't listen to Ed.
Yes,
okay, then. So if you're going to write a check, put it in the envelope and put missions on it, and we'll know exactly where it's going to go. If you have cash and you need an envelope, Shannon will bring it to you. Raise your hand if you have cash and you want to use an envelope. Shannon will give you an envelope. There's one up here, front up here. Shannon, there's one up here. So if you put cash in the envelope, put missions on it. If you have a check, you put missions, we'll know exactly where it goes. Now, I haven't ventured to go to the DR for missions because I thought, boy, it would be difficult. I don't speak a lick of Spanish. It is nice and easy when you go to St. Vincent, everybody speaks where you speak. When you go to Trinidad, they know everything I say they understand, and they never correct me, which is nice. All right, I'll be preaching here on fire, and they correct me. And then I have to get my train of thought. Where was I? No, kidding. But it's all good. It's all good. So who knows if God would lead us that way to go to the DR. And you know what was interesting to me? Building your house in such a way you just pull the pegs out and deconstruct it so because the rain and the river is growing, you know. I was just thinking, taking your house down. Could you guys imagine that? I couldn't. I couldn't imagine dismantling your house and everything so that you can the river could come, and then when the river is gone, you come back and put it back up. Yeah.
They don't own that land, so they're just able to build it there because the government has
to move them. Basically,
squatters. Well, we had a flood in Trinidad one time. We were there and we saw people's house, little put together houses, going down in the flood. So it's real. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I pray that some folks that are sitting here will have a desire to go to missions someday and serve the Lord. All right. Well, we have, before you leave, you put your tithes, offerings, and mission offering in that little black box in the back there. It has a hole on the top if you've never been there. It actually have a hole on the top. And what you do is, you see that hole? It's made for that envelope that you just put that check in. You just put it in that box. Look, if you look back, look, it does have a hole. I know some of you know it didn't know it have a hole, but it actually does. And that's where the money goes. So go ahead. Huh? Yes, it is. Vanna White back there, ladies and gentlemen. So put your offering in there, and then we will take it from there. Yes, come on.
Just something that Doug mentioned, which brought memories. We were adopted when we were kids from a missionary couple, American missionaries. So when he says about not receiving news and having moral support in people, I can kind of relate to that. Not myself, but my parents, yes, because they were there. Everything was difficult. And back in the day, for you to even make a phone call, it was almost impossible. The phones were, did you ever see a dial phone?
Those big black ones that bulky stuff? Those there don't know what that is. Anyway, it was that kind, and the communications, we had no satellite. I think they had lines that, it was horrible. You had to scream your heart out in order to understand, and I could hear my parents saying one word, and then they repeat that word 20 times, because apparently people over here were getting a different word, because they weren't, it was just a battle. But the one thing that, I mean, Harry recalls this, that we loved is when people sent these little gifts you talked about, these little packages and stuff, and Dad would open it. There'll always be a little something for us there, and it was just, it was a delight. It was good. So, yeah, I encourage us, myself included, because I'm a horrible at that. I'd rather come here and give you a check and you do whatever you want to with it. And, but I realize that that's not what your heart wants. Your heart wants more. Your heart wants something. So I encourage you, Doug and Chris. As long as the Lord is with you there and telling you to stay, be faithful. Mind me not. If it was for me, you would have been back here three years ago. But this is Ed, okay? I'm not God. You obey him as I try to obey him too. All right?
Amen. And that is true. When I went to college, many times I was a lonely folk, even though I had people around, because I didn't get letters from outside and I didn't get care packages like everybody else. And so it does affect you when you are in a strange place and it's not happening. So, but you know, it takes a special effort. So some of you do have that calling. Listen, Doug and Chris, you're not going to get it from everybody. I tell you right now, but there's some people right here in the church that has that gift. You have that gift of sitting down and writing a letter. You have that gift of going out and getting a nice little care packages. Use the gift. Not everybody has it. Some people has to struggle to do it, and the only way I'll do it is if I see it on Facebook, and I don't do Facebook much anymore. You all notice that. I hardly on Facebook or WhatsApp. I just don't do it because I would rather get a call. I don't text people much. I'd rather get a call. And I call people and they don't answer. And when they don't answer, I give them a little text and they text me back right away. I say, man, they were right there. You know, so I'm understanding we are making a shift. We are making a shift where text is the way to go. In fact, I get texts these days and I'm wondering, what does that mean? So I have to go look it up, or I have to go ask Anya. Anya, what does this mean? WRUD. What is that? That doesn't even make a word. That's what I heard. I went in the spelling book and I type it in and I couldn't find it. I thought it was a special word. You know, so they're sending me these things and now they don't even use words. They send you a, what they call, emoji? Emoji, they said you wanted that. One time I got one and I wonder, what does that mean? So I have to find somebody to tell me, does that mean they're happy, they're mad, I said something wrong? So we are making a shift. Now, listen what happens. When you're talking to the older folks, you got to remember, we are not in your culture, so you have to kind of get to communicate with us. You have to do our culture. We go try, but I'm learning because I did send that W, whatever. And I have to read it out in my mind to know which words to put. You know, I was watching somebody texting the other day, and I'm watching them, and I'm going, how can they do that fast? I mean, it was like, and I'm like this. And I look to see if it spelled the word on the top there to touch it, you know. So we are changing. So the difference is we all have different ways and different gifts. So I will encourage you, if you believe you have that gift in writing a letter. I don't even know what that means. The only one I know the most of is this. I send this a lot, you know. Even if I don't like it. All right. Well, we're going to be eating next door. And Doug and Chris, we're going to we want to pray for you before you leave, too. We don't want to go eat And we want to pray for you all because we want you all to be in the will of God all the time. Amen. So if George and Ed and whoever else want to come, it's open. If you all would come and stand and let us pray for you all as you all go.